Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Big Blue Insider is on. News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome to the Big Blue Insider on a toasty Tuesday edition of our program. Yours truly along with Billy Rutledge, 280-2287. If you'd like to chat with us, or tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. And we got a lot to do tonight. Lots to talk about. It's the middle of summer, and ordinarily you think, man, these guys must be scraping for things. No, and it's not even because of the Olympics. But if you were with us last night, you heard us talk to Chip Cosby, a former sports writer, covered the Wildcats for quite a while for the Herald Leader. And he has changed careers now. He works in the mental health field. And wouldn't you know that within hours of our conversation with Chip, and we talked to him about the crossover between sports and more awareness of mental health and wellness, Simone Biles drops out of an event, out of the team event. She's not out of the all-around, but, and at first, of course, they said, well, it's a medical issue. But we have since found out she was just having some really intense emotional problems, the kinds of things that we talked with Chip about last night. So, Billy, you can't plan things like that, obviously, but it just goes to show, and I've heard some different commentators talk about what the Olympics have become, you know, how hot the spotlight is now, especially on sports like gymnastics and in the Winter Games figure skating, that put so many of the individuals up on the pedestals. And they'd already called Simone Biles the greatest of all time. They've named four different techniques after her. You could go your whole career and not even be in the conversation for having a technique named. And she's had four. So you just can't script this stuff, can you?
No, you can't. And she is at the pinnacle of her sport. You cannot predict these kind of things. But I do think she brought some criticism onto herself by putting the rhinestone goat image on her leotard.
Yep.
I think that put some added pressure on herself.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if you add in COVID-19 and the entire preparation of this Olympic trial and this Olympics, who are we to scoff at her to make a decision like this?
You know, and you're right. She did. The first thing I thought of, well, and I thought, good for her. She embraced the goat image by posing with a goat, you know, and it was all in fun. But I think that was her way, and I don't know this woman from Adam, but, you know, that was her way of dealing with it. I mean, you can't run from it, right?
Sure, yeah.
So you got to square up to it. So there's more to come on that, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on. Locally, the breaking news broke on WKYT's website at around 4:15, 4:30. Jordan Anthony, a wide receiver from Mississippi, has committed to Kentucky. Now, ordinarily, a football commit, that's news. There's no question about it. And this guy's on the verge, I'm reading, of getting a fourth star. But this guy happens to be the fastest high school sprinter in the United States. What kind of receiver, what kind of downfield threat is he going to be? That's incredible. From Tylertown, Mississippi, turned down Ole Miss, Florida State, Boston College, and he's going to talk with us in about 6-7 minutes.
What is John Summerall saying in these living rooms, Dick? I mean, to convince a guy to go to Kentucky and not the in-state school with the explosive offense that Lane Kiffin and the Rebels have?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be a smooth salesman.
Well, you got to think John Summerall had kind of laid that foundation, a couple of years ago when John was an assistant at Ole Miss.
Right.
And now at his alma mater. And so, he talked this kid into turning down Ole Miss, Florida State, Boston College, a lot of schools. wanted to have this kid. He won the 100-meter dash at the Nike Outdoor National Boys Track and Field Championships. He ran it in 10.21, and that is, I think, just a few tenths of a second off of what Derek Locke ran at his fastest. And you remember Derek was a track star, turned pretty good tailback, pretty good SEC tailback for Kentucky. 5'11", 165, yes, he's not huge. They'll put muscle on him, but it won't matter because he's going to run away from guys, right?
Well, can't you just see the Los Angeles Rams offense in your mind here
exactly.
with this motion across or behind the line of scrimmage and a 10-2, 100-yard dash time? I think that Liam Cohen could get creative with this guy.
I know people like the big receivers, and why not? I mean, we've seen for years, we saw it at Auburn last year, a 6'3 receiver going up over a 5'11, 6-foot D-back. So, yeah, this guy's not the tallest, but he might well be the fastest wide receiver when he gets to campus. And he's in the class of 2022, by the way. When he gets here, he might well be the fastest wide receiver in the history of UK football. I don't know that they keep such records, but that would be pretty cool. And like I said, he's going to join us here after our next commercial break. So we're going to take a break a little bit earlier. Need to touch on one other thing involving a Kentucky wide receiver. Once a Wildcat, always a Wildcat. My beloved Green Bay Packers evidently are working on a deal to bring Randall Cobb home to Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers reported for camp today. And you got to think that one of the factors that brought him back, one of the conditions might have been, yeah, all right, get my man Randall Cobb back. And you might have read that Cobb was upset Cobb was upset. He didn't want to leave Green Bay. It was a budget thing. It was a salary cap thing. But when the Packers cut, like, the number 6 wide receiver, and Aaron Rodgers got upset about it. He's my friend. Well, you know, I get that. But he was not the number 1 guy on the depth chart. But he and Randall Cobb are boys. Aaron Rodgers was in Randall Cobb's wedding. They're boys. And I would bet you that Randall will be in Aaron Rodgers' wedding, if it happens, to the actress. So that, to me, is big news. Say what you will. A little bit later on, we'll talk about Stoops and his comments on OU coming to the SEC. No, not that Stoops. Bob Stoops, Mark's brother, the former head coach at Oklahoma, weighed in with a commentary that went out online today. Your calls and comments are welcome here on the Big Blue Insider, 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP. Yeah, running down a dream
that never would come to me. 280-228-7800-606-4263. Tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. We are trying to run down Jordan Anthony. I talked to him just a few minutes ago, but right now, his phone is blowing up, as you might expect. He is the young man who committed to Kentucky and is the nation's top high school sprinter. Chose the Wildcats over Mississippi, among other schools, Florida State, Boston College. So as soon as we connect with him, we will bring him. I wanted to find out more about Tylertown, Mississippi, and it's tiny, I got to tell you. But, you know, anybody can be from anywhere, obviously. But here's a young man who grew up in a town of just a little more than 1,600 people. It is a few miles north of the Louisiana border, due south of Jackson, and actually fairly close to Hattiesburg, which is where you'll find Southern Mississippi University. And we were there covering the Wildcats and that SMU not so long ago. You got to think that, all the Mississippi schools, you know, State and Ole Miss, and as Billy said, especially with that offense, they saw this kid and thought, man, he belongs here, wherever they were. But somehow they talked him. John Summerall worked his magic. And here's the thing. They got him on campus. And if you have seen the announcement, he made his announcement at the stadium, at Kroger Field, wearing a Kentucky T-shirt with his family there with him. So they've always believed, and everybody does, but I've heard this for decades at UK. If we could just get him on campus, we know we've got a shot. And they did. Now, the one thing that we haven't heard yet, and I assume you will he run track? Will he be a two-sport athlete? Because Kentucky has become sort of a hotbed for track and field now. Eldrick Florial came here. It's always been okay. You know, well, they've had All-Americans. But Eldrick Florial really took it to that next level. And Sydney McLaughlin, you know, ran here under him. She is now worldwide. So I got to think that he'll have, or she'll have the, he will have the opportunity to follow her footsteps, play football, and be a world-class track athlete. And while we're talking world-class, how about the medals racked up by some of these former Wildcats or Lexingtonians in the case of Lee Kiefer? Although Lee is technically a UK student. She's a med student. All right, we have Mr. Jordan Anthony. And let's bring him in. Jordan, are you there?
Yeah, Les.
Hi, Jordan. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Thank you for making time. I know your phone's been blowing up. But let me get to the obvious question. You've answered it already 100 times. Why was Kentucky the best fit for you?
Well, it is family. Like the coaching staff, like the school really reminds me like of a great school or a great family I could be a part of.
How much of that was John Sumrall? Because I know how charming that guy can be.
All of him.
How long have you known him?
For quite a while now.
When did he start recruiting you?
Like after I got my Boston College offer.
Was that within the last year or when?
He recruited me this year. Like all my offers that came in this year.
Oh, really? So yeah, right. Well, I think, and as I understand it, you are kind of new to football, aren't you? How long have you played football?
I played football for probably a year. Cause I didn't play my freshman year, and I barely played my sophomore year.
So why did you decide? You are such a great track runner. Why did you decide to play football? I mean, I know you're from a part of the country where football is everything, but you're an incredible sprinter. Why play football?
Well, I started playing football because I grew up around football. Like, everything I know is about football. But I just started running track, and I just started getting good at it.
When did you realize how good you were at track? I mean, I know the stopwatch doesn't lie, but was there one meet in particular where you thought, huh, that's pretty good?
I started finding out I was good this year.
What happened this year?
I just broke a lot of records. Like, I just realized my potential. My 9th grade year, I was hurt. My 10th grade year, I didn't get to run because of COVID. So this year, my first year actually getting to run with my full potential.
Jordan, do you have any plans on running track at Kentucky as well?
Yes, I will be running track at Kentucky.
Are you glued to the TV for track and field, or will you be? I mean, I got to think the Olympics have your attention, don't they?
Oh, yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit about what you know about Kentucky football and what they told you about the offense.
Well, I know a little bit about, like, the old Kentucky football, like the run game. But now they got, like, a pass game with Cone and a new offensive setup. So, like, it should work out for me and, the teammates and the team. You should be great.
You like the idea of being in an NFL offense, I guess.
Yes, sir. I think it's a good idea.
So, Jordan, what's kind of the reaction that you've gotten from your friends and family? Are they stunned?
Yeah, they all think I'll go to, like, Memphis or Boston College or something. But I had to do something different.
What are your thoughts now about playing in the SEC? And someday you might be visiting Texas or Oklahoma. It's the best conference in America.
Well, I ain't really worried about playing in the SEC. They need to worry about me playing me.
Yeah, all those defensive backs have to keep up with you now, right?
Yeah, sir.
What's it like trying to learn the position of wide receiver? There's a lot of little nuances and little tricks to the trade. I got to think you're looking forward to learning that kind of stuff.
It's actually fun, but like most of I mostly know everything because I grew up on football. I grew up studying. Like, I studied most of it before I even started playing. So like I know the tricks of the trade. Like now it's just about leverage and like spacing playing wide receiver nowadays.
Jordan, have you had any conversations with Mark Stoops?
Yes, sir. We actually talked a couple times, but we actually talked today. He's just excited. He's just pumped.
What do you think of him? What was your impression of him?
He's like an honest and truthful guy. Like, trustworthy, like another father figure I can look up to like, guide me and make sure I stay on myself, stay on my grind to get to where I'm trying to get.
Now, you are from a very small town. What's it like?
Yes, sir.
1,600 people, is that right?
Yes, sir.
What's it like being kind of a celebrity down there? And you're going to be even a bigger celebrity now.
Well, I don't look at myself as a celebrity. I just look at as myself as another human being that the little young kids and my cousins can look up to and, like, look up to and say, like, if he can go to college, I can go to college too.
I got to tell you, you may already know this, but the greatest wide receiver in the history of the NFL, Jerry Rice, and he was from a small town in Mississippi, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
From Starkville, Mississippi. How about that?
Yes, sir.
What are your dreams? What are your hopes when you get to Kentucky?
Well, my dreams and hopes are to get my diploma first. That's the first thing I'm focused on. Then make it to the league to provide for my family.
Good for you.
Jordan, you mentioned Memphis and Boston College. Were you recruited heavily by the Mississippi schools?
Yes, sir. I was recruited heavily, but I just wanted to change, be different. So, like, everybody had in favor of Ole Miss or, like, Mississippi State. So, like, I had in favor of other options.
You're going to be – being a small-town kid, you know, Boston College was an option. That's a long way off. What do you think about being that far from home?
Well, Boston College was a good fit for me. Well, it was nice. Like, it's something different that I'm not used to. But, like, yeah, they recruited me heavy, and I appreciate all the coaches that recruited me.
Yeah, Boston is different from Lexington. But I believe – and you've been here, man. You're going to enjoy it here, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Is there any players that you like to mirror your game after, Jordan?
I don't really want to mirror my game after nobody, but like I watch a couple of players like Devontae Adams, like Tutu Atwell, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, like Judy, like almost all the receivers I take bits and pieces from their game and add to mine.
Well, we'll let you go with this. How does it feel to get this decision off your back? And now you can – I know other schools are going to keep coming at you, but now you can enjoy your school year.
The stress level was high, but I'm happy, like, to be able to commit, get this off my back and focus on my school year and my season coming up. I actually start school next week.
Do you know what you want to study yet?
I'll be studying kinesiology.
Oh, man, that is a tough one, and good luck to you, and I tip my cap to you on that. We'll let you go and get back to your celebration. Jordan, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations. We look forward to covering your games.
Thank you. No problem.
Have a good one.
You too.
That's Jordan Anthony, committed to Kentucky. Have you ever, do you know anybody who ever even studied kinesiology, much less majored in it?
No. No.
I had a friend when I was in college, and he was a phys ed major. And, you know, you scoff at that kind of thing. But he had to take things like kinesiology. And he showed me his book. I tried to read one of the chapters. It's like a foreign language.
Now, I minored in athletic coaching, so it's probably under the same umbrella. But we are much more exercise-driven and joint-driven. Not the exact name of every ligament in the body.
I'm telling you, man. Kinesiology, I can't even spell it. But congratulations to Jordan. And imagine, he said he's doesn't really think of himself as a celebrity. I'm sure that's the case because he hasn't really been doing this for that long. When you think about it, he couldn't compete. He got hurt, couldn't compete because of COVID. Next thing you know, he realizes he's a great sprinter because he kept breaking records.
Yeah, he, only 1 year of football.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to be, if he's not a celebrity now, he's going to be one soon.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge. Just talked to a future Wildcat, and the odds are that the gentleman on our celebrity hotline will cover his games. He'll certainly be writing about him soon. And that is Josh Moore, the Herald Leader, Kentucky.com, on our celebrity hotline. How are you, young man?
I'm well, Dick. I'm trying to, you know, that's sort of like the last gasp here before, you know, things really kind of get rolling hot and heavy with the football, you know, season and camp and everything getting underway. So I'm actually in Florida just kind of, you know, working and not working, you know, kind of switching back and forth between those two things, and happy to you know, join you during this little period here,
well,
the calm before the storm.
Appreciate you taking a little of your time off to talk with us. But, you know, as you know, news never rests. So, but before we talk about the two new members that will happen in the SEC, Todd, tell me a little bit your impression of Kentucky getting this kid who's not yet a world-class sprinter, but could be, out of the lap of Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Southern Miss, and he says he's going to come to Kentucky.
Yeah, no, it's a great pickup. You know, the one thing, you know, you see the speed element, and that's terrific. And I imagine, you know, just knowing, you know, how that relationship there. I mean, it sounds like he and John Summerall are pretty tight.
Yeah.
And it's clear that he's the guy that's really making a lot of progress just in terms of the Southern recruiting. He's really been the focus of a lot of that. And to get, you know, get a kid that fast. I mean, you always want speed, right? You know, even if the, you know, because track speed is different than football speed. And, you know, from my understanding, this kid is pretty, you know, still pretty raw when it comes to, you know, really all athletics. But you know, if you're fast and has a good place to start from, and once you kind of get him, but you know, especially if you have a year of, you know, one more year of high school under your belt, and then come to a college, you know, SEC level program, you know, see what they can kind of mold them into. You know, it, in some ways, that's a great thing. You know, because you maybe have fewer bad habits when it comes to how you play the game and the kind of the ways you run and stuff. So it'll be fun to see what they do with a kid like that and how he progresses from where he is right now, which is a great starting point.
And you would think the new offense that came ostensibly from the Rams, by the time he gets here and starts learning the playbook, it'll be in full swing, won't it?
Right, yeah, and he'll be, I mean, that's the thing. And they'll be able to, you know, what's great about this first year is you know, is a lot of it's going to be, you know, everybody's going to be really learning as they go, including Cohen, Liam Cohen there. You know, and that would be just my, you know, maybe some of my biggest advice to UK fans watching this year is, you know, if it doesn't look how it, you know, if it doesn't look perfect this year, don't freak out. you know, easier said than done, right? But you know, don't put the guy, you know, in the poverty line, you know, after 1 year, because I feel like, you know, it's the kind of thing you got to see. You know, he's learning as much as anybody, as much as the players are in terms of coaching at this level and figuring things out, you know, that work and the kind of things that don't work when you're seeing this kind of caliber of athlete. Now, what he has the advantage of is coming from the NFL. He's seen athletes that are better than
right.
The SEC, you know, so that's a great, you know, you have that in your back pocket. But I feel like, you know, it'll be great to, you know, see how this looks. And, you know, if it looks the way that people, you know, think it's going to and hope it looks, it's going to be, you know, guys like, you know, Jordan Anthony are going to be more, you know, more common. It's not going to be the case that, you know, you're shocked when guys like that are committing as much as maybe, you know, whatever. It's shocking that a guy like that commits now, but it's certainly, you know, it is still. I mean, when you see a kid like that coming out of Mississippi, you'd expect if he likes the Mississippi schools and they're in his top three or four, you know, that's probably here, you know, where he's going to end up. And so it says a lot for a place like Kentucky to be able to, you know, drag him out of there.
Josh, moving to the topic of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC, obviously there's a ton of benefits when it comes to overall revenue and some pretty awesome matchups we could see over the next few years. But I'm most excited about the amount of horns down penalties that there's going to be in the SEC over the next few years. Do you think the benefits outweigh the cons in this move?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, first off, I don't think the SEC is going to fool around with that horns down business now. I think that's one of those things where, you know, Texas sort of had its, you know, ran the show in the Big 12, really, when you get down to it. And you know, I think the horns down thing will be, we'll see where that's, how that goes and whenever this all shakes out and it's finished. But I think, I'm with, I understand the hesitation, particularly if you're a school like Kentucky, you know, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, the teams that are, that aren't Alabama, LSU, Auburn, you know, to an extent. But you definitely have, you just gain so much from a branding standpoint. You bring in two schools that are the shows, you know, not just in those states, but in that whole area of the country. I mean, it really is those two. After you get west of the Mississippi, that's who you're talking about. Sucks for Texas A&M. You know, I get why they're, you know, beefing with the whole idea, but I just think you, standpoint from all the money that's going to bring, you know, it's always about money, so that's obviously a big factor. And I think just the college athletics, you know, it's in such a pivotal place right now with the NIL stuff. The role of the NCAA is increasingly looking, superfluous, just in a way. If you're one of these schools like a Kentucky or Alabama, like that has a lot of, you know, power and is in a big conference. So I think it's really from the biggest standpoint, it's just the SEC being proactive in some ways. I mean, I know they're going to sell it as, we've not, you know, legally, you can't say that this is a thing you've been talking about for a long time, but it's clearly that's the case. And it's just, you know, it's good, you know, props to Rick Sankey and his team and the Texas and Oklahoma, you know, officials that way to see and try to make something like this happen. Because I think it's, you know, you can debate whether it's bad or good for college athletics, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, things are changing. And if you'd rather be an agent of change rather than somebody that's reacting to it.
I also believe, Josh, that it's going to be tougher for really everybody, even Alabama, to win a football championship and to win any kind of championship in the SEC. For instance, you look at Kentucky. It's won four straight volleyball championships after going without for so long. And now the team that it had to really work its tail off to beat in the championship game, the NCAA match, is now in its own conference. So, yeah, it's a tougher conference, but it's tougher on everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and we all, you know, everybody sort of, you know, I mean, Oklahoma sort of, it's weird, right, because they're this big brand, but it really, it's everybody, Texas is the big, you know, the 1A to the 1B. You know, it's not like Texas is necessarily this, you know, that they've been killing it in football.
Right.
I mean, for them, you know, and that's why I think when Texas comes in, you know, I think there's some fear that Texas is going to walk into the SEC and basically act the way that they've always acted. You can't – that's not going to work.
No.
It's just
– whoops.
They're not – they're begging – I think the SEC wants them, but it's not like – it's not this thing where, you know, I don't think necessarily the SEC needs them. So it's really going to be different for Texas, and I think, you know, just from a competitive standpoint, but from also a school and an administrative standpoint of how they've conducted themselves, and that's something that, you know, if it doesn't work out, then maybe culturally there'll be a issue down the road. But and that's the thing too. I mean, people, you know, I think some people think this is happening, and oh, this is just how it's going to be forever. Well, clearly, that's not the case. I mean, things are constantly changing. This is the second. Well, A&M and Missouri came into the conference in 2012, was it? So it's not even 10 years since that happened. So it's just a matter of fact that things are always kind of you know, changing around us. And college athletics is no different. And I think it's just something where you have to, you know, everybody's just along for the ride to some degree. And
well,
can and.
Josh, I want to say in regards to things changing all the time, it includes football rosters. You know, a lot of Big Blue Nation doesn't like the one-and-done rule and how UK has to re-recruit their roster every year. They don't get to know the guys' faces on the team. But this next UK football team, look at the impact on transfers, whether it be Wandale Robinson, Dare Rosenthal, Jacquez Jones, or even the possible quarterback Will Levis. Not to mention the last good quarterback for Kentucky was a transfer. Do you feel like this is going to be the new norm, is, you know, just replacing these guys every year with guys that are ready to plug in instead of recruiting the four-year guy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't it be? I mean, that's my question. I mean, you're never going to lose the high school recruiting because obviously you have to have those guys at somewhere to be getting developed and turned into, you know, can't have transfers if you don't have guys who have enrolled in from high school at some point, but or junior college or whatever it may be. But you also, you know, I mean, why not? I mean, if there's that many disgruntled guys, there's a lot more disgruntled guys who aren't happy with their situations than actually ended up at new schools. I mean, that's the other. I mean, I think I don't recall the exact number. Kentucky's had, you know, at least 8 or 9 transfers itself out of the program this offseason. And I think every one of those guys, except for maybe one, has ended up at another school. But everybody's moving. Everybody's got parts moving in and out, and a lot of it, you know, you got to have the depth. You know, you can't, because you groom these guys and you expect them to be, you know, at least the second or third guy on your depth chart. And if they're gone, well, you have to. You know, it's not a matter of, you know, you.
Wow.
The bodies.
You're kind of cutting in and out on us, Josh.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dick.
That's all right. We didn't catch the last couple comments that you made. It's a matter of what?
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, whether you want to recruit transfers or not. It's a matter of you have to to have the bodies to fill out your roster and get your, you know, build up your depth.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I'll leave you with this. In terms of, to follow up on Billy's question there, how much of an effect, if you could look into the future, and this is tough, but how much of an effect do you think the NIL will have a year from now on transfers, kids looking to say, you know, hey, I could get more over here. I'm not getting anything here. Let me go shop over here. I think that's what people fear the most.
Yeah, and I think that's valid. I mean, you know, just from a purely surface level, that's very valid. But I think the NIL thing, in my opinion, a lot of that boils down to not the school. I mean, the school matters, you know, because obviously, like an Alabama is just always going to be more valuable, you know, especially to local Alabama businesses in particular, than, you know, like Kentucky would be, right? But I think and that's Alabama football I'm talking about.
Right.
But you have. You know, I think a lot of it boils down to these personal relationships kids have, and things that, you know, their personalities. I don't know that necessarily if you look at, you know, if you're a transfer, say you're a basketball transfer and you're down to Kentucky and Kansas. Okay, well, maybe Kentucky, perhaps they, you know, the local businesses, you know, maybe there's more money. You look at that, and that's something they'll definitely consider. But I don't know that that's something that will be a definitive factor. One, because, you know, there's only so many spots at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to end up with somebody, right? Like, it might not be, you know, the first guy on the list, but it might be the second guy. And if you're, you know, or it might be a kid, you know, I just think it's just another factor. I don't think it's going to be this big bugaboo, you know, the thing that determines where kids go. And I think for high school kids, too, because they're going to be looking at that stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, no question about it. It's a new world. And we're going to stay on top of it, but if anybody can do it, Josh can. Josh, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your time off, and we'll see you soon.
Awesome. Appreciate y'all for having me. Hopefully I wasn't, you know, sorry if I was, you know, cutting in and out there too much.
Well,
I apologize.
You know, it's on us. Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
Take care.
Thanks. Josh Moore, Kentucky.com, and we're back in a minute. 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats. 630 WLAP.
Thanks again to Josh Moore. Coming up in our next half hour, Darren Hedrick of the UK Network, 280-2287-800-606-4263, or tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. And when you think about where college athletics, where the SEC is going to be in the next year, it's pretty staggering, especially if you factor in what most of us believe will be another successful Kentucky football season. Mark Stoops, people are buying right now. His stock is rising. And if this schedule turns out to be as manageable, my word, as a lot of us think, then some of these lists that we quote to you in the offseason, where Stoops has risen from the top 75 to the top 50 to the top 30, that kind of thing, that's just going to keep growing. His name's going to keep climbing. And with that success, more guys like Jordan Anthony are going to be rolling in. That's the way it works.
I will say, though, Dick, Coach Stoops was very hesitant at SEC Media Days to give any praise to a 9-game conference schedule.
Oh, hesitant? He treated it like a rattlesnake.
You could say he bashed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if
he opposes it.
With Texas and Oklahoma coming in, you know, that is the future.
Oh, yeah.
And with what we just went through in that 10-game season, aren't you worried at all about Kentucky staying consistent?
Absolutely. Yeah, and yeah, it's going to be tougher on everybody. But, and I part of me thinks, the cynic in me thinks it's inevitable that they go at least to 9 games. 10 would be a disaster, in my opinion. You talk about a top-heavy league, but I think it would ultimately, the other thing let me double back on this. You've got to wonder what's going to happen with bowl eligibility, because somebody supposed they'll just throw that out the window because of SEC school. If they ended up tacking more conference games on, do you want bowl games without SEC teams in them that don't qualify? No. You'll get no ratings, you'll sell no tickets, or a reduced number. So all of that is up for change, don't you think?
Sure. And if you thought it was hard to figure out the 4 teams in the college football playoff, wait until it's 12 teams, and then there's 3 SEC teams at 8-4.
At least.
And then you have to pick between an 11-2 ACC team or an 8-4 SEC team.
Yeah, you know, I've been opposed to the expansion of the playoffs just because, as I've said from day one, if you think it will make things easier, you're wrong, in my humble opinion. It'll make things tougher, and there will be more teams complaining about getting hosed. And Billy's right. There will be teams that are maybe not 8-4, but 9-3. Why aren't we in? You know, we played this record. We're rated here. Our only losses were to Alabama and Texas and Oklahoma. So why aren't we in the playoff? Or we beat one of those 3, you know. And you talk about how the other conferences are going to feel about the SEC, the bitterness, man.
And this is all assuming that the SEC sticks with the NCAA and they play nice with all these other conferences. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the SEC, really the minor league system of the NFL, breaks off and eventually has enough teams to do whatever they want.
Well, if you do that, then you've got to worry about all the other sports. We have a tendency to think in terms of only football. You know, again, every time they've talked about changing conferences, the super conferences, everybody gets in to March Madness. To me, that destroys the tournament.
Yep.
As we know it. And yeah, they'd have 64 teams or 68 teams, but there will be no Cinderellas, no upsets, none of what made it what it is now, which is an incredible 3 weeks of basketball. Maybe the basketball itself is not always great, but the event is, and the run-up to the event is great. You will not see another Gonzaga-UCLA game. And you could say, well, that's one game. Yeah. But the opportunity, and you can say, well, some other school might do that. It's not the same as a Cinderella team, a massive underdog. jumping up and having a moment like that. You got to think about women's sports. You got to think about, let's call them the minor sports, the Olympic sport, whatever you want to call it, non-revenue sports. It's all, but football's driving the bus. I get that financially. But everybody needs everybody in college athletics. That's the truth.
Yeah, I'm trying to have a rebuttal to that last statement, but I really can't. Because EKU can't succeed without some help from the bigger guys.
I'll submit that your beloved Hilltoppers would have a hard time. And they're Division I all the way.
But we also realize that I think these greedy tycoons sometimes look at the numbers and they don't look at tradition, Dick. The numbers matter significantly more.
Which circles us back, to use your term, to the initial question, and you asked of Josh, good for the SEC, yes, but is it good for college athletics? Hour number two is next, 630 WLAP.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.